studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, we're thankful you've joined us here today at Abounding Grace. We're going to look at an exciting subject this week as we take up our study in Philippians chapter 3. And the question that I ask you today, and that we'll be asking throughout this week, is what system of righteousness are you in? There's a very fascinating passage in Mark chapter 10 that really shows us two types of systems at work in this world with this popular account of the rich young ruler. You'll remember this account because this young ruler approaches Jesus in the most respectful and the most honorable way, bowing before him, asking him for salvation. And what is so striking about the passage is the fact that Jesus held before this young man the law. "You know the commandments," Jesus said, "do this and live. Keep this and you will have eternal life." And Jesus went through and rehearsed these commandments. Now, the problem is when we look at Mark chapter 10, no one can. Well, the problem that really comes out in the passage is that this young man didn't recognize this fact. All of the law, all of these things, he says, "I've kept from my youth." Now, if we understand this encounter correctly, we have two kinds of righteousness meeting in direct confrontation, meeting head on, a great battle. One is a human righteousness and seeks to attain this standard through the law. And the other is the righteousness that comes from God that is found in Jesus Christ by faith. Now, when a human being comes into this picture, the question is this, my friends. How will a holy and righteous God who demands perfection, that has this standard, be perfect because I am perfect? He is confronted with the issue of how will a human being, when he comes before a holy God, will he attain to the righteousness that this holy God demands if he is a sinner? He either takes the route of trying to produce this righteousness that God requires by keeping God's commandments, or he recognizes, on the other hand, that he can't do this, and instead he receives the kind of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And so in this account, these two kinds of righteousness are clearly seen, the one that comes by human law keeping and the other that comes by faith alone in Christ alone. And Jesus is here showing this young man that when it comes to the fallen race in Adam, there really is only one kind of righteousness possible for a human being. And to understand and begin to ask the question, how may I attain this righteousness? There must first be in all of us, my friends, a profound sense and realization that we have to be absolutely and fundamentally done with seeking the other kind of righteousness, the righteousness that comes by the law through personal law keeping. Jesus, of course, in Mark chapter 10, brings this out very strongly. "Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Then come, follow me." You see, what had gripped the heart of this young man was his covetousness. And on the throne of his heart was another master. And what Jesus was teaching him was that the kind of righteousness that he was seeking, keeping the commandments, was absolutely impossible for him because he was totally controlled and totally driven by something the law condemned, the very thing he was trying to do to gain God's favor. Now, we see this all the time. I remember speaking with a man on his deathbed, and he was not a believer in Christ, and I asked him, "Sir, what do you believe is going to happen to you when you die? Do you believe that you will be accepted into heaven? On what basis?" And he said, "Well, young man," he says, "I've kept the law." He says, I never committed adultery against my wife. I never stole anything in this life. I paid my taxes. And he listed all these accomplishments in his life. And I had to tell that man, unless you stop and throw down your own pursuance of your own righteousness, and you don't flee to the righteousness that God has provided in Jesus Christ, you will not make it. You will be eternally condemned. That is the message of the Bible. Now, the problem was he didn't see, as the Bible says, if you have one sin gripping your heart, if you break the law at just one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. And so this other system of righteousness breaks down when it comes to a sinner, because a sinner cannot keep it. A sinner cannot do this and live. He must come, my friends, to Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness that God provides for us. And if you understand this today, that there are these two kinds of righteousness, these two kinds of systems at work, that of human law keeping and that of Jesus Christ, you have understood why the righteousness that God provides for you is your greatest need. Every other world religion is seeking to, in its own system, to climb up the ladder to God by doing works, by saying prayers, by doing pilgrimages, by doing all these things. And Christianity says, no, Christ comes down to you on that ladder, and you receive him by faith. You don't work, but you believe in this Jesus, and you receive the righteousness that you need to be in the presence of God. That is what the gospel is all about. And that is what Philippians 3 is all about this morning. Because Paul is essentially saying to them, look, I've tried the other system, and no one could touch me in the kind of righteousness that comes by the law. I was the man. But at the end of the day, he's going to tell us it could not give me the inner joy and peace I was looking for, because in myself, I could never attain to the righteous standard that God requires. Be perfect. That's what God requires, my friends. You must be perfect to be in his presence, right? Well, if you have the righteousness of Christ covering you, then he sees you as covered and stainless and without sin and washed by Christ's blood. That's the beauty of the gospel. But if you are trying to do it yourself, you're done. And so Paul is saying all this to us this morning. And the whole point of Philippians chapter 3, when we study this passage, is look, O Philippians, everything that is of value in this present age and all that it has to offer, along with all of my advantages and all of my status and all of my material things and all of the benefits that I have and all of my comforts and all of my honor and everything I have, I've counted as absolute and total loss when it comes to gaining Jesus Christ. I've let it all go. I've counted it as rubbish. I've sold all to gain him, so that because of his wonderful love to me, I might gain him and receive through his whole person this other righteousness that God will accept. And so the very thing that he wants us to grasp is that we are in one system, my friends, or the other. And everyone in this world out there, anyone who's listening today, you're in one system or the other. It can't be both. You either have the kind of righteousness that God provides in Christ that covers you and that has washed you and that you are justified through his blood and that you have forfeited everything of value to you in this life for the gaining of him, the surpassing greatness of knowing and being united to this Jesus. And such a gaining changes your whole outlook on life. Or you're stuck in the kind of righteousness that is trying to get saved, please God, through what you do. You remember, this has always been the problem that the Philippians had really struggled with in their sufferings as being a Christian. Paul was essentially showing them by his life not to allow the circumstances and sufferings of this present evil age affect their inner peace and joy. It's not about what happens to you, he will say, but it's the way that you understand and perceive these sufferings as they happen. It's not about beating them, but about the way you understand and handle these things when they come to you. And so that's where we begin this week. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing, remember, is not to seek for happiness. It's not to seek to make your circumstances void and dull of suffering. Rejoicing is to live with the understanding and knowing and embracing that all things are yours and belong to you in Christ. You understand your position in Him. So that whatever God does shower down in His providence, both good and bad, it is to be used for His glory, isn't it? He's designed it specifically for you to show the world what this Jesus looks like living in your hearts. And so rejoicing, as Paul is going to say, becomes compatible even with sorrow, because through it all, you have a deep penetrating understanding that you are in Jesus Christ. Nothing at the end of the day can touch you. You are His and He is yours. He has purchased you. And therefore, whatever this sad life brings, Paul says, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So I set my members so as to live this out before my other Christian brothers and sisters that they too might share in this inner peace and joy that Christ brings in the gospel. So the point is, these Philippians were suffering. How do you reconcile suffering with the fact that we're Christians? And Paul is saying, be joyful. How can you be joyful? Well, because remember, joy is not tied to circumstance. It's tied to your understanding of Christ. And if it's tied to your understanding of Christ, what motivates, what propels, what compels joy in your lives is an understanding that you've been given the greatest treasure anyone could ever give you. God has provided for you as a lost sinner the righteousness of Christ imputed to your account by faith, so that whatever happens, it cannot change your status as a Christian. At the end of the day, you are Christ and He is yours, and you are going to your heavenly home. But let me say today, and we're going to look through this week, if you are in this other system of righteousness, trying to pursue it by what you do, and you do not believe in Jesus, you're done. You have no hope, you're lost, and without hope in this world, and you will find on that day, you will hear these words, "Depart from me, you cursed." You must have Christ today. You must believe in Him. He is the only way. And when you believe in Him, God imputes to your account, He reckons to your account the very righteousness of Christ, so that as if you had never sinned nor been a sinner. That's the wonderful gospel today, my friends. May Jesus Christ then be our all in all. We are so thankful to be able to bring this broadcast to you Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. We ask that you continue to join with us and learn more about what the Bible teaches regarding this wonderful gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you like to know more about this Jesus? Join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught, not a place where you will be entertained, but a place where you will be fed with the one message that's able to save your souls. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays are the worship times. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.